of our ministry. Things have changed in recent months for Dillis and me, and we are now helping to support a church over in Carlisle, and going over there regularly, although we're based in Darlington. And we had a little old car, and when all the arrangements were made, I thought, how's this little old car going to put up with going backwards and forwards over the Pennines from Darlington to effectively the Lake District, the Scottish borders? And so I began to pray, and in the spirit, I felt God gave us a new car. And I knew what sort of car it was. On one weekend, that must have been about 6, 7, 8 weeks ago now, I drove past the garage, and there, on these ramps like they put cars these days, was this car that I felt God had given us. That was on a Saturday afternoon. The next morning, before we went to church, Dillis and I prayed about this car. We went to church, had a good time. And at the end of church, over coffee, someone came up to us and gave us the money to buy this car. So on the Sunday afternoon, we went and bought it. So, you know, God can give us stuff in the spirit, and then he can make them real. They become reality. Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah. What a wonderful story. So I was thinking... okay. Only joking. It's not on. It's not on. H for some reason. That's on, is it? That's on, I think. Yep. Were you there? Yes. I can feel. Yeah. So, I mean, that is amazing. And God has come and met with us in just a wonderful way this morning, in the way that only he does. And the way that we understand that, and the way that we kind of experience that, is when the Holy Spirit comes and starts to do something in our lives. And I don't believe, until that actually happens, that we can get the fullness of what God wants for us and wants to give to us. And so in essence, I think we owe everything to the Spirit's power. Everything. Because I don't believe, the way that I understand Scripture, is that nothing can happen until the Holy Spirit imparts something to us. And the way that I understand it is that right back in eternity past, God was doing some things, he was planning some things, and somehow those of us who are Christians, were caught up in that, in God's amazing plans and purposes for our lives. And I certainly didn't seek after it. I wasn't looking for it. But God, somehow, in spite of who I was and where I was, chose me. And that is an amazing thing. And that is why it's wonderful every Sunday morning and every meeting that we have when we gather together, that again becomes a reality to us as we look around and I think of people and I think, wow, how God has impacted your lives and how God has changed your lives. So, in the light of that, shall we just pray and then we'll get into what God, I feel, wants us to look at this morning. Father, we just want to say thank you so much that you chose us amazingly before the foundation of the world, that we might even be holy and blameless before you. And we don't even do that. It's because of the righteousness of Jesus that is the position that we stand in. And you even help us work out our sanctification day by day, that we might increasingly become more like Jesus. And Lord, we just want to say forgive us when we're not. And I know that I am not perfect in any measure, but I'm different to what I was. And I'm going to be something else in the end. And so please come alongside us. Help her, Holy Spirit, and help us to become more like Jesus. Amen. Okay. So we owe everything to the Spirit's power. And when the Spirit starts, speaking to us, and we're blessed in that wherever two or three are gathered together, God has promised to be in the midst. And so that is why, like this morning, when we come together, it'll take us too long to unpack all this stuff. But if you read through Scripture and you read through how the early church were when they met together, it was nothing like the formal church settings that we often have a perception of church has been like in these days. It was vastly different from that. Now, I'd like to say it was a lot more different to what we experienced this morning. Because if you read the accounts, it said that when the church, when the believers met together, even before they were called the church, but when the believers started meeting together, then amazing things would happen as God would impart different things to them. And that is why I believe that some people can get up this morning and say, I have a sense that God is saying that this is for a person. I have a sense that God is saying that this is for a person. And when I finished what I've got to say this morning, I'm going to ask that some people might share those things again. So if you can be aware of that, that would be very, very good. But I find it very, very helpful. And we shouldn't be surprised, actually, that God, actually, by His Spirit, can come and put His finger on an individual's life at the point when they were least expecting it. And I'm sure that it was true this morning that people have had, you know, anxiety, have had bad body image or a bad image of themselves. Now you could say, you don't have to be cynical, but you could say, well, yeah, in a room this size, there's bound to be a few people like that. But I think if we were able to ask them this morning whether that was just like, that's bound to happen, or whether actually they had a sense that God was speaking to them and that that was actually true for them, then I think you would find that it would be on a lot more of a personal level than just, the law of averages says, you know, that would happen anyway. And so from new birth at a point in time, that is when your story started. If you remember last week, if you were here last week, we talked about the fact that God gives us all a personal story. And all of us, some of us might be better at sharing it with other people than some. And some may feel awkward, some may feel quite comfortable. But we've all got our personal story. Because from new birth, at a point in time, sometime in eternity, to new creation in eternity future, we owe everything good that comes into our lives to the wise planning of God. Because God is sovereign, I believe that. I'd never preach on it because I don't fully understand it yet, but I absolutely believe it, that God is sovereign and God has got a plan for our lives and has had a plan for our lives from all eternity. And that much I do understand. But into our lives, we come into this relationship where the wise planning of God the Father starts to bear fruit in our life and things begin to change. And we have the merciful purchase of God the Son, as somebody said, that transforms us, that Jesus, we actually need a Savior. We sang about it this morning. We needed that somebody would die for our sins, a perfect, sinless, spotless person, of which, as I understand it, Jesus is the only one who has ever been able to do that. And then we have the transforming power of God's Spirit. So the wise planning of God the Father, the merciful purchase of our lives when at the redemption of Jesus for us, and the transforming power of the Spirit. And so why would we not seek Him? Why would we not come to church? Why would we not want to throw ourselves, as it were, at the feet of Jesus and worship him with all our heart and all our strength. It just seems like a natural follow-on. Once you understand that, that it's just a natural thing to want to come and praise him. But what happens if somebody responds by saying, well, because we already have the Holy Spirit, all believers have the Holy Spirit, and well, that is true. That is absolutely true. Romans 8 verse 9 says anyone who does not have the Spirit actually of Christ does not belong to Christ, so he's not a Christian. So we know that to be true. But all believers have the Holy Spirit, I believe, just like we have faith. And yet Jesus said to some of his followers, you've got little faith. And because of the language and because of the way that that was written, I believe just in the way as it's possible to have a little faith, we can have a small measure of the Holy Spirit. So I'm looking for more all the time. I know that something happened. The Holy Spirit came and spoke to my spirit. Otherwise, I couldn't have become a Christian. And I received a measure of the Holy Spirit when I was born again. But there's more than that. I believe that that was like the down payment. That was like the inheritance. But there's more. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Great. I'm glad you do. That is wonderful. And so even though the Spirit is always present with us, we may have only a partial experience of his presence. And sometimes that partial experience of his presence seems like, whoa, that is like massive. But I believe there's always more. I think that for all that I've seen and all that has happened to me, and even this morning I've had some wonderful stories, I still believe that that's only a partial experience. And, you know, we know that Jesus said, didn't he, that, you know, I must go so that the Holy Spirit is able to come, and greater things will you see and do in my name. Greater things. And Angela was exhorting us a couple of weeks ago. Have you seen the greater things? Have you seen and done greater things that Jesus did already? Well, if you haven't, you've only had a partial experience of the Holy Spirit, because Jesus himself said, there's more. So there's got to be more. And so, have I seen some of those things? I've seen some amazing things. And some of you were here when, like, even the dead were raised. I remember one Sunday morning when Alan and Jacob's... Now, Jimmy's wife, Maria, was she... is she your sister or your cousin? She was your sister. And she had an experience. When we were in the school, she had an experience where, out of some desperate situations, she had, in tragic circumstances, lost two of her children had just in tragic circumstances died. And with her heart as a mother, she missed them and in some ways longed to be with them. And whatever went on in her, she was like, almost like willing herself on that morning to die so that she could be with her kids. Even though Jimmy, her husband, who was a great man, and some of her other children were there, they were weeping and wailing because it seemed like the life was going out of her. And if you were, I mean, it may seem like a weird story to you now, but I want to tell you, who was there? Anybody there then? Was you there, Mary? Weren't you there? Wendy, you must have been, you will have been there, Wendy. And Janet and Howard certainly was there on holiday. But many of us will have been there. And it seemed to all intents and purposes, like she died, there was little or no pulse there whatsoever. And we began to pray for her. And if you would have been stood there with her husband and her kids weeping and wailing, you would have prayed for her as well. But what can you do? Well, you recognize that Jesus says, greater things will you see and do. And so we started to pray. I didn't have a clue what I was doing. Unfortunately, I wasn't leading the church at the time. And Angela's mum, she did know what she was doing. She'd had some experience of these things. And we began to pray. And the top and bottom of it was that she, whatever happened, she revived. Now, I couldn't tell you exactly whether she was dead or not, but I wanted, she looked dead. And she seemed dead. And it was scary. And Ray Lowell tell you that he was once on a golf course and he found out that somebody on the next fairway did die of an heart attack. And Ray went over and he prayed, and this bloke literally, there's a paramedic there, this bloke literally, you must have heard him tell this story, I think he's told it here. This bloke came back to life, only to die again when he actually got to hospital. Now why that was, I don't know. But we can all see some greater things than what we've seen, guys. That's the gist of what those stories are about. They may seem crazy, but I want to tell you, you can see amazing, crazy things if you believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay? Now, it's not just some kind of wishful thinking. That's absolutely scriptural. It's in here. It's written, and anybody who is anybody and professes to be a Christian and can understand the Bible would have to admit that was true. And so, And so we're only, if you remember, I'm back at the, we only have a partial experience. We've only had a partial experience of what the Holy Spirit can do. Or else Paul wouldn't say, don't get drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I guess he says that because we're not all filled, at least to the capacity that we could be filled with the Holy Spirit. And we need to be filled continually. Do you believe that? Yeah, absolutely. I believe that as well. And so he says, seek this, be filled with the Spirit. Seek to be filled with the Spirit. Seek the fullness of all that the Spirit can be to you and bring to you. And seek it, and do not quench it. I want to tell you, quenching the Holy Spirit, again, if you have any measure of the Holy Spirit in you, and if you're a Christian, you certainly have, then you will know if you quench the Holy Spirit. It's happened to me from time to time, and it is the most horrible feeling. It's the most terrible thing to quench or to grieve the Holy Spirit. And the Bible speaks about both. The Bible speaks in 1 Thessalonians, if you're making notes, 1 Thessalonians 5:19. Don't quench the Holy Spirit. And also in Ephesians 4, verse 30. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit, but seek the Holy Spirit. Okay? I don't know if this is making you want to seek him or whether it's frightening you to death. I don't know. At that point, okay? So Paul saw this and he placed great importance on receiving the Holy Spirit. And so I was reading an account this morning where Paul, traveling through a place called Ephesus, which as many of you will know is modern day Turkey, and he said he came across some believers there. Now, they only knew the baptism of John, and we ain't got time to go into that, but they hadn't received the fullness. And so, first thing that Paul said to them, more or less, was, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? So he obviously, this is the guy who wrote most of the New Testament, he obviously placed great emphasis on that. I was reading a couple of commentators on it this morning. One of them, who is a man who actually I respect quite a bit, said, nah, that they weren't even Christians. But somebody who I respect even more now said they absolutely were Christians. They absolutely were Christians because in other parts of the New Testament, it's exactly the way words that Luke uses and the way that Luke describes people that were Christians. And so I believe that they were. But Paul recognized, you need, it's not just enough to believe, you've got to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I'll tell you, anybody can believe in God. I mean, historically, it's true anyway that Jesus came. I mean, a lot of people that were Christians wrote about Jesus. Josephus, if you want to read some of his stuff, and Jordan will be able to tell you quite a few different things because he's into all this history, that people absolutely recognized that Jesus. Josephus says, Jesus was a wonderful man. He wouldn't have called himself a Christian, I don't think. But he didn't, did he, Harold? Josephus, did he ever become a Christian? Don't think so. I don't think so, no. But, yes. So how can I seek the Holy Spirit? So we owe everything to the Holy Spirit's power. How can I seek the Holy Spirit? Well, we're going to look very quickly at just a couple of things. I'm not going to tell you how many, because I don't want you to turn off. Okay, but less than Trevor Payne usually says. Okay, first of all, meditate on what God has said in the Scriptures, because they're Spirit-inspired as well. They are written by human agents, men, basically, but those men were absolutely inspired by the Holy Spirit. It wasn't just like, oh, I'll sit down and, you know, write a bit of a story. It's the Bible is full of stories, but the Bible is not a story. It's truth. It's history. Okay? So meditate on what God has said in the Scriptures, because they're inspired by the Holy Spirit. It's very important to do. So God has established a life-giving connection between His Spirit and His Word. He did that right from the beginning. And Jesus said in John 6, verse 63, "It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. The words that I have spoken are spirit and life." So it's very, very important. Jesus said it. And then there's this parallel between in the New Testament between what's said, say, for instance, in Ephesians 5 and Colossians 3, which are both by the same author. "Be filled with the Spirit," Paul says, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and singing and making melody to the Lord in your heart. Ephesians 5, verse 18 and 19. Then in Colossians it says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thanksgiving in your heart." You'll see that both those things are very, very similar, apart from in one he says, "Be filled with the Spirit." And in the other, he says, "Let Christ dwell in you richly." So the command to let the word of God dwell in you richly stands in the place of the command to be filled with the Spirit. Because the indwelling of the word is the way that we experience the indwelling of the Spirit. And that is why we've always said in New Frontiers, historically, and even before we were part of New Frontiers, this was the central theme. We've got to get a balance between Word and Spirit. Some churches are very, very, you know, down on the Word. They're very, very Word-based, but not the Spirit. In fact, some things these Word-based churches wouldn't even believe about the Holy Spirit. And some people are very into the things of the Spirit, and the way that they preach the word is absolutely shocking, really. I mean, it's not, it's just not an accurate account. We've got to get both in absolute balance, and that is very, very true. And so that's the way that the prophets of old always spoke out of what the Holy Spirit was speaking, but they immersed themselves in Scripture, in the Scriptures that they had, in order that the Holy Spirit might speak through them. Okay? And I've seen Angela. If anybody recognizes that, you know, God speaks to Angela, I see her every day immersing herself in the Scriptures, reading, checking things through, seeing what the commentators say, all these things. And then what comes out of that, you know, might be what God is speaking by His Spirit into a situation or a circumstance. Okay? So, meditate on God's Word. Secondly, believe what you hear and see in the Word. Very important. So in Galatians 3 verse 5, and I didn't have a particular scripture to pin these things on today, really, so I'm not like preaching from a scripture particularly, but this is the one that I absolutely love, and Janet will be mad because she's not here. And it is Galatians 3, verses 1 to 5. And if you've got a Bible, you might want to turn to that. It'd be great to read it. It's always great to read Galatians 3, 1 to 5. And if you haven't got a Bible, you can follow it on the screen. Okay, Galatians 3, 1 to 5. You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed amongst you as crucified? This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, you are now going to try and be perfected by the flesh. Have you suffered so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles amongst you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? What's your answer? Faith, absolutely. Does he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles amongst you do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? And so the Holy Spirit is supplied to us and works powerfully in us as we hear the word of faith and believe it. You've got to believe it. So if you're reading your Bible early in the morning and it's lovely and quiet and you're sat there, or whenever it is in the day that you do it, and you're reading about God's promises, beautiful descriptions, there's 32,000 of them in the Bible, of Jesus and his work in the world and the amazing things that he did. Incidentally, that he said that you would do greater works, remember? Don't close your Bible and not say anything about your faith. Okay? You've got to say, I believe this. And then you've got to think, what does it actually mean to believe this? When I start believing this and applying it to my life, what difference is it going to make? What does it feel like to believe this? Because God allows us to have feelings as well. What does it feel like to believe this? What does belief look like? I've seen a lot of people who say that they're Christians and say that they believe in God, and it doesn't look a lot like what the Bible says to me. Does he who supply the Spirit to you and works miracles amongst you, does he do so by the works of the law or by the hearing with believing or by the hearing of faith? Absolutely, faith. And so when we read, we've got to apply it to us. It says that Stephen was described as a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit. Barnabas, all these giants of the early church, was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. You see those pairings together, faith and the Spirit. They're not coincidental. That is how God planned it. Galatians 3 verse 14 says, we received the promised Spirit through faith. And so as we read the Word of God and as we consider what God might be saying to us through that, faith comes by the Word. And by this faith we experience the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. Very important. So we seek him by meditating on God's word and then believing in everything that is written there. Do you believe the whole of the Bible? Okay. Do you believe that Jonah was swallowed by a fish or a whale? Yes. I'm hoping that we're going to do that next. Okay. I'm still in negotiations with Pete, but I'm hoping that come September we're going to be talking about Jonah and his situation. Because I think a lot of people are running away from problems. So Jonah's going to tell us how to sort them out. Okay? Or God is through Jonah's story, actually. We won't see Jonah here. Okay, thirdly. Did you notice third? Yet, hold fast in obedience to what you have heard and believed. One of the disciples asked to Jesus, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us, but not to the people of the world who don't believe you? And Jesus answered and said, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and he will come to him, and make our home with him. It's interesting how he says our home with him. It's obviously plural there. John 14. For those who love Christ and keep his word, there is a special intimacy of love given by the Father. Okay? That's what separates us from anything else. And the Father and the Son draw close with an unusual fullness and, if you like, sweetness that speaks to us of God's goodness. And until the Holy Spirit comes, we can have any amount of different understandings of what God was like. You know, and I've often said that for me, I just felt that God was like, you know, this angry other than being who was sat up in the clouds, who was only interested in anything that I ever did wrong. And then when I did slip up, that it was almost like this God that we sometimes see depicted, you know, firing thunderbolts down. You stupid person! That's not what God's like at all. God comes with this sweetness and fullness to reveal the love of God, the Abba Father aspect of who they are. But they do that by the Spirit. It's the Spirit that does that through us. And if anyone keeps God's word and holds fast to it as a treasure and believes it and meditates on it and is obedient to it, you won't quench the Holy Spirit or grieve the Spirit, but you will know that fullness of what the Spirit brings. Okay, last point. Fourth of four. Okay. I'm glad I'm only doing four, because last week I was sat down listening to Trevor. This is point 15, part 7. And I was thinking, whoa, this is a long time. So, okay, last one. In all this meditating and believing and obeying, desire all that God has for you. Thirst for him. You've got to desire the things of the Spirit. When we used to do Alpha, and we've not done Alpha for about a year or so, actually. Something to think about. But anyway, there used to be this session on the Holy Spirit, and it said, you know, who is the Holy Spirit? What does the Holy Spirit do? How can I be filled with the Holy Spirit? And myself and Harold are well-versed in those talks. And so is Mary and Ange, actually, to a certain extent. They used to do quite a few. But the main thing that they say at the end of those sessions to you is, the main thing that you want is to thirst. You've just got to thirst. If you are thirsty for the Holy Spirit, he will absolutely, certainly come and meet you where you are at. Okay? But you've got to thirst after him. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink, Jesus said. Now, we sang about this morning and we prayed about it before. In fact, Russell read something out about this. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Now, Jesus said this about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. Thirsting for him, as the psalmist says, is very important. Drink from the river of his delight, Psalm 36. And then we all know the psalm, and we've sang it a number of times, as the deer pants for the flowing streams, so my soul longs for you. We sang that this morning. My soul longs for you. We sang that this morning, didn't we, Trace? Shows you how long my memory lasts. We did it about 20 minutes ago, yeah. Oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek for you. My soul thirsts for you. Psalm 63. And so the Holy Spirit is more precious than anything. By the way, I didn't say at the beginning, but we're doing a series on the Holy Spirit. So, yeah. And he promises to be with us to the end. Some of you are saying, yeah, absolutely, I do believe that the Holy Spirit is doing all these wonderful things. But at the moment, I am going through a living hell. I'm going through the most difficult part of my life. Well, his promise for you, his promises for you are eternal. And they will go right to the end. And I was actually going to speak about this, but anyways, I've had a funny week and it didn't transpire that I did speak from this. But 1 Peter 4 and verse 14. You remember last week we were talking about, Peter was speaking to this church about the various trials that would come to them and the problems that they would endure. And then he says to them a little bit further on in the letter from where we read last week, "If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you." Yes, it's 1 Peter 4, verse 14. If you are reproached or reviled for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of the glory of God rests upon you. And what I understand that to mean is that no matter what situation we are in, and no matter what our circumstances are, the Holy Spirit has promised never to leave us or forsake us. And will prove to be more worth than all the money that you could accumulate. And in that hour when you need him most, he will absolutely be there for you. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For whoever asks, receives. And the one who seeks will find. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. For what father amongst you, if his son asks for a fish, would instead of a fish give his son a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, would give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So he is our heavenly Father. This is his greatest gift. The gift of God the Father and God the Son give the Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. And I think he's got yet more of himself to give to us. I think it's important to meditate on his word, to believe what we read, to obey what God's word says, and certainly to desire more and more of that. But we need to ask him, and we need to keep asking, because he is a good father who wants to give us good gifts. And I'd like to end this morning by praying for us. Okay, and I'm going to ask one or two people that perhaps may come out and share some things with us as we pray. Is that all right? Okay. Shall we stand? Well, we got anything, son? Have you? Oh, great. Okay. Right, I'm just going to pray. Now, we often do this, but if you want to receive anything, and you are able, you've got to kind of hold your hands out to receive it. And so I find it helpful to do that. Father God, I just want to say thank you that you know us all individually better than we could ever know ourselves. For you created us, and you formed us in the innermost parts. In fact, you put us together in our mother's womb, and Scripture tells us that, and we believe that. And somehow, which seems even more amazing to us, is that you had a plan for us even before the foundation of the world. That somehow, even for those of us who weren't looking for you, that you had already appointed to enter into this amazing relationship that the Holy Spirit brings about as he speaks to our spirit, and we become the children of God. And so we just want to say thank you for that. And we want to ask right now that these greater things we might see. Not because we want to be some all singing, all dancing, powerful person, but because we want to see you glorified, Lord. We want to see you, and your name lifted on high. We want your fame to be shed abroad in this town and to the nations. And we want to say that we want to see great crowds wanting to come and learn more about you, even as they did in Scripture. People followed you around from town to town. And even as we've seen in history, as we understand it, where revivals came and people desired to know the things of God. People desired to cast off their old life and embrace the new. People wanted to cast off the sins and the things that bound them and receive what you wanted to give them, what you were offering. And so as you offer to us the Holy Spirit as a good gift that a wonderful Father would, well, we want to receive that for ourselves. And I want to say, Lord, there are a lot more greater things that I would like to see than what I've already seen. And if Jesus said, greater things will you see and do, actually, then, Lord, I want to say that I want to receive them. And we're doing this series on the Holy Spirit, not just to learn in our heads more about what the Holy Spirit, who he is and what he does and what he has enabled and how he speaks to us, but that we might receive some of this power from on high to do the things that you have called us to do. And so without the Holy Spirit, we're not going to be effective in doing that. And so we pray, Lord, even this morning, come. We just want to say, even as we've sang this morning, our heart longs for you. Our soul thirsts for you. We want to see amazing things. We want to see you come and help us to speak to our friends and family and to see people change, to help the poor and the widows and the fatherless and the homeless. And I had some great stories about that even in this week. Lord, I just want to acknowledge now that amongst these people that are gathered here, I thank you that some of them are actually doing some wonderful things. And Lord, I just want to say thank you for the sake of not embarrassing people. Even this week I've heard where people are actually moving out of comfort zones and doing amazing things as the Holy Spirit leads. And so we're just desiring more of you, Lord, right now. So we just ask, come, meet with us, be with us, speak to us and through us. We want to receive. Lord, I just want to say I'm thirsty for you. I don't know if anybody else is here, but I'm thirsty for you, Lord. So please, I know that, I recognize that I need more of you in my life. Thank you.
Yeah, in the prayer meeting this morning, I had this vision of blue sky, and in the centre of this blue sky was sort of marked out a real magnified section. And I felt like God was showing me that it was so precise and clear And from that, I just says, oh God, what are you trying to show me? And I felt like he was saying that there's some people here today that he wants to touch with their vision, that they actually have physical problems with their vision. And I felt, Mary, that you were one of them. I wanted to pray for you today with your cataracts that are coming. And Kirsty, I believed God wanted to do something with you today, with your vision. And I also wanted to pray over the kids. So if you'd mind getting the kids, I'd love to pray with them.
Things that happens is when we invite the Holy Spirit to come, he does release a healing anointing, especially in the physical realm that some of us have. And just this morning, I just know that God wants to touch some people specifically. And he wants to touch a lady that you've got a problem with lungs. I'm not sure if it's asthma or what that is, but you have a problem with breathing and breath. And God just wants to touch you this morning and deal with that. And there's somebody that has a digestive problem. And just the way that manifests itself to you is lots and lots of discomfort, which comes and which goes. And I believe that you know who you are. You've been to the doctor about it, and there's been no real answer. You just have this discomfort which comes and goes so often. And we won't go into the details of the discomfort because we can all imagine what that means. There's somebody too, another lady, you get this stiffness across the shoulders and up the back of the neck. The muscles go into sort of tension across the back of the neck and across the top of the shoulders, and that can sometimes spread onto your head and give you a sort of a headache. And I just know that if you'll allow us to pray today, God will deal with that, sort it out, and dismiss it totally. And just finally, God wants to touch somebody with an arthritis problem. And I think particularly that's to do with hips, but also with fingers. Felt God was showing me quite clearly that somebody used to do a lot of stuff with fingers, but you're hampered a bit these days because you get this arthritis, this pain in the fingers, in those finger joints. Who is that? Who's got that? Where are you? It's you, Mary. Right, we'll pray for you then. So if you respond to any of those things, please come forward. We will pray and we'll see God do some miracles.